a code of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a code of silence and it can't go on.
This is Cutting Through the Matrix on April 6, 2012. Newcomers, make sure you use the website cuttingthroughthematrix.com. There's over 1,000 audios for download for free, where hopefully you understand this big system that runs the world, always has run the world, really. And you understand, once you understand the early parts of the system, where it went from ancient times to the present, to where the world's been taken today. It's always been run, really, by the mercantile guys and the mercantile banks, in fact, that started off the whole agenda of controlling not just nations, but the whole planet. And, of course, under all the central banking systems, they put in the private ones, they then connect them under a grouping that's under the Bank for International Settlements, and that really is a form of World Bank, really. It's the whole structure of banking under one small clique that runs the whole world. And everything from that, that's your whole system of government, your whole way of life, in fact, revolves around what these bankers decide for the future. It's power, of course, and it's total domination and control. And they do allow you to have a good time now and then, at weekends and things like that. People get drunk out of their skulls and forget their problems as we all go down the tubes, paying debt off, this funny thing called debt. It's a very, very strange thing. And I go through that too and describe the big foundations fronting for the big international money lenders that fund all the NGOs. This is a new form of democracy. NGOs, you see, they're all funded by the big foundations. They demand things from government, they've got the numbers, and they turn up when they're ordered to protest governments and to get what they want. So help yourself to the audios, and remember too that you are the audience that bring me to you. I don't have any shares in anything that's sold as products. I don't push any products. The only thing I sell are the discs and the books on cuttingthroughthematrix.com. So if you want to support me, you can order from the US by personal check if you want, or international postal money order from the US to Canada. You can use PayPal, some people send cash, and donations are really, really welcome. And across the world, your Western Union, MoneyGram, and PayPal once again. But if you don't understand the history of the banking systems and the money boys, even from, as I say, from the ancient times to the present, you will not understand what's happening today. You're born into a system, you take it for granted because your parents took it for granted as well. We go through a farce called democracy. It stops revolutions happening because you vote the last bunch out. That's what you do. And vote another bunch in, giving another bunch of the same promises. And you believe it again. It's just, we live in hope, you see. We have an optimism center in the brain. The big boys talk about that. They've got the whole brain mapped, basically. And they can aim for any particular part that they want in many different ways, too. But we are optimistic creatures. Natural life itself is optimistic. Every creature tries to live. It's incredible what animals and man will go through, even at the end of life, when you don't want to die. And this big machine just keeps on trying to live and live and live. So, well, at the same time, we're getting killed off as well. If you don't understand the history of ancient wars, why they happened, who was behind it, financiers are always behind it because you need money to get armies formed that stay together and don't wander off home. You need payments, you see, from the earliest times to today. And even ancient Phoenicians tried to standardize their silver coinage across the ancient world by using other countries which they'd already dominated through debt and using their armies. And nothing much has really changed to the present, except that we're almost all on their system. The last few countries that are not are being bombed out of existence or starved. And it goes on. We're not far really from the end of this part of the agenda. Back with more after this break.
Earth Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hi, my name is David Stovenel, and I host a talk radio show called Operation Restore Christian America. To listen online, go to genuinechristianitynow.com, then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time. My primary focus is that the Protestant Freemason British Royal Windsor family is now apostate and making their final all-out attack worldwide in an attempt to force us to accept their satanic New World Order. I offer remedies of how to stop them. The British monarchy has totally abandoned their ancestors' genuine Christian faith and have returned to their effort to conquer the world through the sovereign's will, hidden laws, violence, terror, and deceit. Remember, to listen online, go to genuinechristianitynow.com. Then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Ward. We're back cutting through the matrix and talking about the system in which you're born, which has an agenda. Of course, it's always going to have an agenda. It kind of becomes stagnant, or at least begin to lose control. And they know this from previous experience by working their trade down through the centuries. They've got a lot of big plans and always keep us on edge, of course. When we're on edge, we actually turn to the abuser, which is government. That's the function of government. And we get nervous and expect them to solve things. Big Daddy is going to help you out here. And that'll be our first when it happens. But anyway, we still believe in this nonsense because we're brainwashed into believing it. And I've read quite a few excerpts over the last week or so from Carl Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, but there's a few main ones in it because he wasn't just an ordinary professor. He was an honor that they give in the CFR Council on Foreign Relations, one of the few to get the honor of going into the archives, that's the inner circle, where they have their own version of history. And he wasn't some, as I say, pinnacle professor living on his ego, which is mainly what professors do. Apart from the massive grants they get too. And he was high up there in governmental circles and taught lots of people. They ended up in government too, and especially the foreign stations they send abroad. But it says he was professor of history at Georgetown University from 1941 to 1976. He also taught at Princeton and at Harvard and lectured at the Brookings Institution. He was a frequent lecturer at the U.S. Naval Weapons Laboratory, the Foreign Service Institute. He trained lots of them, and the Naval College at Norfolk, Virginia. In 1958, he served as a consultant to the Congressional Select Committee, which set up the National Space Agency. He's a real insider. In 1964, he was a consultant in the Navy Postgraduate School, Monterey, California, on Project Seabed. The project was created to visualize the status of future American weapons systems. And this, again, this link I've got tonight has different parts of quotes from different parts of his book, mainly the Tragedy and Hope. And it says, this is what he said in it. He says, there does exist an international Anglophile network. In other words, they speak English mainly. I mean, they are ethnically English. But, and it's based in London, of course, and New York, it says, which we may identify as the Round Table Groups. Now, the Round Table Groups, I'll just add this to it, came out with the Rhodes Society and Foundation. There was a merger of Cecil Rhodes and Lord Rothschild. To take over the world's resources and the countries and use Britain as the, and the Commonwealth as a basis to build the new world order on, basically, a global society owned by the bankers. And they merged with the Milner Group, and he came actually from Germany, Milner, and eventually was called Lord Milner, Alfred Milner, and he helped start wars across the world. The Boer War was the first one he orchestrated. And then they merged with the Cecil Rhodes Foundation, the Milner Group, and became the Royal Institute for International Affairs, or the Council on Foreign Relations in other countries. Anyway, he says, I know of the operations of this network because I've studied it for 20 years and was permitted for 2 years in the early 1960s to examine its papers and secret records. I have no aversion to it or most of its aims and have for much of my life been close to it and to many of its instruments. I have objected to a few of its policies, but in general, my chief difference of opinion is that it wishes to remain unknown, and I believe its role in history is significant enough to be known. And he wrote about it in Tragedy and Hope and the other book, The Anglo-American Establishment, which you must read, which we haven't understand anything at all. And it says here, it says that, another quote, the powers of financial capitalism had another far-reaching aim, nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. The system was to be controlled in a feudalist fashion by the central banks of the world. Remember that part. Acting in concert by secret agreements arrived at in frequent private meetings and conferences. So in other words, through the creation of crisis and everything else, they always give you the solution is to amalgamate, just like businesses, because they run all the big businesses too. And that actually own, they own the companies that of the military-industrial complex. They own them, these big bankers. And after reading that there, a world system of central banks run a feudalistic system, and but at the top too, it was to be run by the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, and that's where they go every year, as you can watch them at the WEF. And then you go to this article here that's just come out. It says, Eurozone, the whole of Europe now, this amalgamation of Europe, because of, you know, financial crisis, is going to help them all become wealthy, all the people, you see, and they're all utter poverty and debt now, which, of course, is natural because the same bankers had every nation as nations in massive debt for centuries. Now they've got the whole of Europe under their fist, basically, and they've got them all in even worse debt than ever before, and that's, of course, the plan. And, of course, the answer to everything, when they get into more and more debt and they bail each other out, is more debt. Isn't that wonderful, eh? More amalgamation and more debt. Eurozone finance ministers agreed last week to expand the capacity of the euro bailout funds to around 800 billion euros, or $1 trillion. The move was intended to calm global markets, calm them by getting everybody in debt, by creating a so-called firewall against further Eurozone sovereign debt contagion. It's like an infection, you see. While eliciting new financing from the International Monetary Fund, the International Monetary Fund too quickly goes on about that as well. It's a big debt collector. Still, markets have continued to react cautiously due to concerns that the debt crisis is shifting to Spain. The agreement to enlarge the Eurozone funds is primarily a political success. Yeah, it isn't for the people, though. It says the European Council on Foreign Relations, eh? It's a success. The European Council on Foreign Relations, every top member of every country in Europe, presidents, prime ministers, are all members of this council. And And, of course, even Sarkozy was ahead of it for a while, though he still is. It says, this is an intermediate step on a long and difficult journey towards a sufficiently strong system of government for the Eurozone, Clow argues, as a writer. In order for the Eurozone to have a successful future, he says it will have to acquire sooner rather than later further federal features, such as a treasury, a bigger federal budget, and new mechanisms for financial transfers. So what it means is that the Europeans have worked out a compromise between themselves, and the public had nothing to do with this, remember, which may be now seen as sufficiently credible by non-European powers, such as Brazil and others, to make good on offering further backing for the Eurozone through the International Monetary Fund. In that sense, the agreement is a political success, though there's some skepticism in quarters in the City of London and other financial centres that the firewall is actually big enough or efficient enough to come up with the money in a crisis scenario. Well, here's up London again, where it all kind of began, at least this section of it, this part of it, this era of it, you might say, and because they've had other capitals down through the centuries. But it's just like quickly said, in the 60s, this was their plan, and he named the organizations, he named the types of banks, and the Bank for International Settlements, and of course, too, he also said they'd amalgamate the whole of Europe into one political structure, which they did. But mind you, he read Karl Marx too. Marx mentioned it as well long before. So you're living in a script, is what I'm saying, if you understand that script. And it isn't just to do with money. Money is a source of power, and they use the power they want, understand, to either breed you up or cull you off. And of course, we're in the culling phase and have been for a while. That's why hospitals, you can't build enough of them today. But you're farmed by the good shepherds, you see. They're good to themselves. They're always good to themselves. But that's just the way of it, and it's been this way for an awful long time. They've got to keep the public ignorant and dumbed down. We've got the worst education we've ever had, actually, which is essential for this part of the agenda. Remember, too, Bertrand Russell and others who worked with the same organization for the same goal said that they'd make people basically hedonistic and self-centered, everything revolves around them, and narcissistic, he said, too. That's happened. You get youngsters are poor as could be, and they really are working, they're make-work jobs that are funded by the government, like Britain. Almost every job they get is funded by the government. It's a totally socialist system now. Bankers create socialism, and they love it, because government always borrows more from them, you see. And the youngsters just party all weekend and get smashed out their skulls. That's what they do. They have no other future. And they know it. And they're told this to be happy. In fact, there's a whole organization come out of the United Nations, too, which is pushing it across the whole world now. It's wellness, you see. See, it's more important that you feel well and happy and good about yourself than actually acquiring a better accommodation and getting out of your filthy digs, as they call it, over there. You can't afford to get out of it. It's more important to feel good about it. You can put up with the filthy digs and accept your status in life is stuck there forever. And it's all to do with being happy. And they put massive government campaigns out across the whole of Europe. And it's funded, again, by these big organizations belonging to the United Nations that belongs to the Council of Foreign Relations. Or something. Just be happy. Stacks of ads in Holbeck, just be happy. Why do you think they promote all the booze campaigns on the television and always have done? Just be happy. So they work on these miserable jobs, the ones that can get jobs, that is. They're government funded. Some of them actually don't get any paychecks at all for 3 months. And then because it's government created jobs for these private entrepreneurs, they get start-up pay for being an entrepreneur and hiring so many people, but you don't have to pay them for 3 months. And in the 3 months, you just fire them and get a whole bunch of new free workers in. What a disgusting slavery system, because that's what it is. See things as they are, not how you're told that they are. And that's what media's there for, to tell you the spin, you see, to alter your perception of things. You do it all the time. All the time. And music's coming in, so I'll be back with more after these messages. We'll be right back.
purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkey's are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi folks, I am Alan Walker. Talking about the system you're born in and how it really operates and where it's going, because it's very well orchestrated and coordinated by those at the top. Mind you, the thousands of think tanks across the world working on every aspect of society and the social aspects of your personal lives, how you'll be managed, etc. Are you being managed well? Can you manage even better without you knowing it, of course? But Quigley also talked, Professor Carl Quigley also talked about eventually these central banks would take over the fiscal policies of every country. Well, that's already happened, basically, just recently, last few days. And they're run by technocrats, appointed people that the banks themselves will appoint and approve of. Now, the banks also, of course, one of the mainstays is to fund universities and recruit from universities, certain universities especially, to keep their system going and bring people into their fold, so to speak. In a lower capacity, they never get to the top, but they get an awfully good wage, believe you me. And of course, they keep us all in check, knowingly too, because they know they're manipulating us at the top, because even though they're hired themselves, these guys, they're paid so well to keep the structure going, they don't turn it down. They're given an offer they don't want to refuse. But here's an article here. It says the German government has long argued that strict fiscal discipline is the only way out of the euro crisis. See? So they cause the crisis, they get what they want, so they get an amalgamated banking system and a central bank, and they all meet in Switzerland every year, like Kyle quickly said, in the 60s. So now German Finance Minister Wolfgang Schäuble has come up with a new idea. Oh, must a bright guy, Mr. Schauble, eh? For keeping countries on the path of virtue, whatever that means. What's the path of virtue? You know, no one ever, none of these reporters ever asked the pertinent questions. It's like when Bush Sr. said the New World Order is coming into view and stuff like that. None of them says, what do you mean? Could you explain that? Not one single reporter across the planet asked that question. Mind you, they own all the newspapers. He wants independent panels of academics to keep a close eye on states' budgets. These are nations. We call them states now. Budgets. So, who is these independent panels and who's going to vote them in and all that? Well, they're not getting voted in by you. So, German Chancellor Angela Merkel and her finance minister, almost her fiancé there, Wolfgang Schäuble, was able to get their pet project of a European fiscal pact accepted by most of the European Union's member states. And the public are never asked anything. I wish you stopped using these terms like the Union and Europe and Europeans or British or whatever, or Americans for that matter, because nobody gets a say in anything. Now Schäuble has come up with a new idea for improving the monitoring and coordination of the fiscal policy. It's according to an internal finance ministry document obtained by Spiegel. Schäuble plans to propose creating independent panels of experts. Oh, wonderful, more experts at both the national... How have we got all these experts here, but we're always broke? We're always crashing and the banks are always... How come these economists always get it wrong? It doesn't matter. We've got a new breed of them, you see. It's been hatched and they're going to help manage the whole of the EU by being appointed over all the central banks, etc. And doing your bookkeeping. How much will you spend on the poor? How much will you spend on healthcare? That kind of stuff. You know, the trivial stuff. That's what they'd say. Anyway, it says both the national and EU level, who would monitor fiscal policies in the member states, the Eurozone and the EU as a whole. They would be responsible for sounding a warning if they see government's budgetary policies straying off course. Oh my God, why weren't they there before the bank crashes, eh? Oh, what rubbish, eh? So they've got what they wanted and what Carl quickly called for, that they were calling for back in the 60s. And he knew their plan, which was on the go before even he was born. The panels, which would be comprised or composed mainly of academics, would also be charged with checking the compatibility of national fiscal policies with European and national requirements. Well, what are they? As well as the implementation of national and European regulations. That's all your law system, legal system. According to the Finance Ministry document, those regulations would include the tougher EU Stability Pact, which was adopted at a summit in March 2011, as well as a new fiscal pact, which 25 EU countries have agreed to introduce. In addition, Schäuble's ministry is also proposing that the role of the EU's Economic and Finance Affairs Commissioner, a position currently held by Finland's Olli Rehn, be strengthened, his position is. According to the ministry document, the commissioner should be able to implement EU regulations without the other commissioners or the Commission President having the right to object. So in other words, they've got carte blanche to do whatever they want, these appointed experts, you see, from academia. Isn't that wonderful? That's called democracy, you know. That's democracy in action. Who really believes in democracy? Do you really believe you've got it or you've ever had it? Do you really still believe that? Improving member states' budgetary discipline has been a recurring theme in Chancellor Merkel and Finance Minister Schäuble's efforts to fight the European debt crisis. And Berlin, remember, these are the same central banks that created their head central bank for Europe, the same central banks that had every country broke when they were just nations. Remember that. Anyway, Berlin put pressure on other countries to sign up to the fiscal pact. What kind of pressure he put on them, eh? Which will introduce tougher rules for budget offenders. So they're going to start fining countries, understand? This is what it's all about, fining countries to punish you if you go over budget. Remember when they set up the United Nations and even the League of Nations before that. They're just the phoenix. The United Nations is the phoenix bird of the League of Nations. And it talks about eventually they'll just redistribute the food across the world. All the food will come to them and they'll distribute it. And they said it's in order to keep your populations in check. And if your population goes up, then that's going to give you an extra cash. And of course, your ration will always be going down. You know, that's part of the agenda. Back with more after this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Through the matrix, just talking about how nothing is happening by itself. You're living through a very old agenda, and they go through the generations just one by one, a little bit here, a little bit change there, until they get exactly the society that they want, that will accept being pushed into amalgamations like the European Union. And of course, they're still working on the American Union. They're called different names because there's more people a bit aware in the US and Canada than what we're in Europe, basically. And also Pacific Rim region, that's three blocks, you see, like Karl Marx talked about. And here's an article, good stuff here, actually, from George Orwell's 1984. Because, you see, George Orwell was groomed for the same kind of position in the high-ups, and managing the public. In fact, he was the chief propagandist for the BBC during World War II. And it's possible, actually, he wrote the book because they kind of dropped him after that. I think he may have wanted to go higher. Very possible. But he lets the same thing out if you understand how to read and what you're reading. He says here, this is the part about the truth, where he's given the dictionary with the second pages stuck to it that tells you the real system, although he's being set up by O'Brien, who is in the inner party. And it's just like the CFR, in fact, which, of course, he's really referring to. There's an inner party and an outer party, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, too. And it says, but the problems of perpetuating a hierarchical society go deeper than this. This is page 184. There are only four ways in which a ruling group can fall from power. It is conquered from without, or it is governed so inefficiently that the masses are stirred to revolt, or it allows a strong and discontented middle group to come into being. It says, or loses its own self-confidence and willingness to govern. In the past, you see, in the Middle Ages, the elite were very spoiled, incredibly spoiled, didn't you go around having world meetings and all that? And it often became so lazy and lackadaisical that others could take over. And it says, a ruling class which could guard against all of them would remain in power permanently. Ultimately, the determining factor is the mental attitude of the ruling class itself. After the middle of the present century, the first danger had in reality disappeared. Each of the three powers which now divide the world, this is 1948, talking about a three-block governing system of the whole world, just like we're in today. And it says, each of them, three powers which now divide the world is in fact unconquerable and could only become conquerable through slow democratic changes which a government with wide powers can easily avert. The second also danger is also a theoretical one. The masses never revolt of their own accord. That is history. And they never revolt merely because they are oppressed. Indeed, so long as they are not permitted to have standards of comparison, they never even become aware that they are oppressed. You understand, during the 20th century, you could always see how other countries lived and the standards of living. Now you're not seeing it so much. So there's nothing to compare. As you go down and your drastically reduced consumption, that's part of the agenda, the proposed consumerist society now, you see, you have nothing to compare it to. And if anything, actually, you'll be comparing it to the rising standards of a few, really, in India and Brazil and elsewhere, and their own elites. You watch them go up even more stinking rich than they are already. The recurrent economic crisis of past times were totally unnecessary and are not now permitted to happen. But other and equally large dislocations can and do happen without having political results because there is no way in which discontent can become articulate. You understand? I remember watching one of the big meetings against the G20, and I think it was held in London. And one of the politicians actually came forward in the crowd, you may remember it yourselves, and he asked them what were they angry about, and none of them could verbalize the real problem. They were all angry. It's a multiple anger. And when they're angry, they can't even fix their minds into articulating what's wrong. It's everything to them. Everything's wrong. But they can't say what it is, specifically. Because they often don't know. And it says here, they never even become aware that they are oppressed. The recurrent economic crisis of past times are totally necessary, blah, blah, blah. And they can't articulate it. As for the problem of overproduction, which has been latent in our society since the development of machine technique, it is solved by the device of continuous warfare. How long have you been at war? Do you remember Gulf War I? It's ongoing. I read the article from the military magazine, too, on continuous perpetual war. That's what you've got from now on. And if it's not war, overt war outside, you see, it's war on you and airports and everywhere else, and cults are getting more powers and so on, and they can be at war with you. Because the prime reasons for warfare is to change society by those who own it. Anyway, it says here, as for the problem of overproduction, it's been overcome, blah, blah, because it's solved by the device of continuous warfare, which is also useful for keying up public morale to the necessary pitch. Do you remember the Green Party in Britain 2 or 3 years ago? She's really talking about post-consumer society. But she says, we've got to get the public ready for this. And she says, if we can get them to the same war mentality as they had in World War II, when they would accept rationing, accept being hard up, no calculator with cash, and accept being ruled in a non-democratic fashion, she says, then we can get this through, this global society of post-consumerist society. And it says here, continuous warfare is also keying up from public morale to the necessary pitch. From the point of view of our present rulers, therefore, only the genuine dangers are the splitting off of a new group of able, underemployed, power-hungry people and the growth of liberalism and scepticism in their own ranks. The problem that is to say is educational. It is a problem of continuously molding the consciousness both of the directing group and of the larger executive group that lies immediately below it. The consciousness of this of the masses need only to be influenced in a negative way. That's basically what Isaiah Berlin was teaching Tony Blair and others, many others before him and after him. At least before him, I should say. And in other words, you've got to make sure that the upper classes and your upper middle class, who run the world for their masters, will push things forward. And he's talking about things really much like conservation, eating less, and don't you're told, all we've got is GM food now to save the world. Utter rubbish, because the same bankers own the GM industry. They own all the, pretty well all of the farming industries. A small percentage now in private hands. But they've had a war on the farmer for 40-odd years or more. And they make sure that the people at the bottom are given the most dumbed-down, the proles, they call them, of course, here, dumbed-down education. And it's a book you've got to basically read right through. You'll enjoy it, too. It's far more deeper, of course, than the movies can be. There's two movies out on it. But it goes into detail of how society is actually run. And it says here, and in another page here, it says, its rulers are not held together by blood ties, but by adherence to a common doctrine. You understand, if you're upper middle class and you're psychopathic, you'll sniff the wind. You know where your benefit lies for yourself. And you get in on it, you see. And you will parrot, as though it's gospel truth from a deity itself, that's like global warming. It doesn't matter how much evidence you bring against it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. There's no dissent amongst their own ranks. Because they know that. They're out the door if it happens. So its rules are not held together. But it's just true that our society is stratified and very rigidly stratified on what at first sight might appear to be hereditary lines. Well, there's definitely hereditary lines in a certain bunch of them at the top. There's far less to and fro movement between different groups than happened under capitalism or even in the pre-industrial ages. Between the two branches of the party, there's a certain amount of interchange, but only so much as will ensure that weaklings are excluded from the inner party and the ambitious members of the outer party are made harmless by allowing them to rise. Proletarians, in practice, the ordinary folk, are not allowed to graduate into the party. The most gifted amongst them who might possibly become nuclei of discontent are simply marked down by the thought police and eliminated. What was it, Lord Bertrand Russell said the same thing? Those who we can recruit and buy scholarships into the granite halls of Oxford and Cambridge, he says, those who will not go along with us and who are bright, basically, would have to be extirpated, same thing, eliminated, killed, in other words. And he says, but this state of affairs is not necessarily permanent, nor is it a matter of principle. The party is not a class in the old sense of the word. It does not aim at transmitting power to its own children as such. And if there were no other way of keeping the ablest people at the top, it would be perfectly prepared to recruit an entire new generation from the ranks of the proles. In the crucial years, the fact that the party was not a hereditary body did a great deal to neutralize opposition. The older kind of socialists who had been trained to fight against something called class privilege assumed that what is not hereditary cannot be permanent. He did not see that the continuity of an oligarchy need not be physical, nor did he pause to reflect that the hereditary aristocracies have always been short-lived, whereas adoptive organizations such as the Catholic Church have sometimes lasted for hundreds or thousands of years. Quigley mentions this too. He says foundations that can run the world don't have to change. You can set up a goal, like dominating the world on this sector. Maybe the foundations are all specialists in their own areas. And they can hire generation after generation after generation of guys who come in, take a little vow and the whole bit, and continue on their part of the world agenda. It doesn't matter which parties come and go, they come and go and come and go, it doesn't matter. The foundations can stick on with trillions of dollars to back them all and get the agenda through. They say a ruling group is a ruling group so long as it can nominate its successors. The party is not concerned with perpetuating its blood, but with perpetuating itself. Who wields power is not important, provided that the hierarchical structure remains always the same. Same guys at the top above prime ministers and presidents. You see? All the beliefs, habits, tastes, emotions, mental attitudes that categorize our time are really designed to sustain the mystique of the party and prevent the true nature of present-day society from being perceived. Physical rebellion or any preliminary move towards rebellion is at present not possible. From the proletarians, nothing is to be feared. From the people at the bottom, the ordinary people, there's nothing to be feared. Left to themselves, they will continue from generation to generation, from century to century, working, breeding, and dying, not only without any impulse to rebel, but without the power of grasping that the world could be other than it is. It's important that they can't grasp that the world could be other than it is. In fact, the ideas that it could be better are that from the politicians to the polls at the bottom. The polls believe it because they won't do it themselves. They can only become dangerous if the advance of industrial technique, it's a technique of controlling everything, they're necessary to educate them more highly. That's when they become dangerous. But since military and commercial rivalry are no longer important, the level of popular education is actually declining. 1948. What opinions the masses hold or do not hold is looked on as a matter of indifference. They can be granted intellectual liberty because they have no intellect. In a party member, on the other hand, not even the smallest deviation of opinion on the most unimportant subject can be tolerated. And that's why you won't find a single individual who's put up there to push the global warming agenda, climate change agenda, which is redistribution of wealth from all the countries to the banks themselves, not to the poor. That's why not one of them, actually they're all like clones of each other because they have the same prattle, the political speak prattle, and have learned all off by heart. They can't deviate with their own personal opinion on anything. They're like robots when they speak. A party member lives from birth to death under the eye of the thought police. And now it's true. You see, if people who are important to the system, they run the system without too much of a hassle happening in their time, are more spied upon than the general public. It's more, see, if one of them broke ranks, then it's an important person has broken ranks and spoken the truth. They can't allow that. When the Soviet Union fell, of course, they had lots of documentaries on it. They got into the archives in the Politburo, and they mentioned that it's more important to bug all the homes, etc., and keep track of all the people that work for them in the bureaucracy than the proles at the bottom. There's nothing to fear from the proles. And that's a payoff, of course. That's the ones at the top now. On top of the top, they're the ones that we see, which are three employees. Right, the Strauss-Kahns and everybody else. They're heavily, heavily watched. And believe you me, when they bring them down for some reason, it's not because of what they did that we're told. It's because of something that they didn't pass on to their bosses above, because all the big deals are passed on upwards. So it says here, nothing that he does is indifferent. His friendships, his relaxations, his behavior towards his wife and children, the expression of his face when he's alone, the words he mutters in sleep, even the characteristic movements of his body are all jealously scrutinized. Not only any actual misdemeanor, but any eccentricity, however small, any change of habit, any nervous mannerism that could possibly be the symptom of an inner struggle, is certain to be detected. Now, they're doing that with us all now, because we're all potential terrorists and criminals. And, of course, in this book, you read it, you'll find out that everybody's spied on all the time. With a big screen in your home, and with cameras in your home and so on, which, of course, is where they're all going with us. In fact, you'll buy them. That's the only difference. You'll buy them. In that article I read last week or so, it was about, Toshiba, one of the big companies, are putting cameras to watch you. But actually, they've been doing that for years and years and years without telling you. And you'll invite it into your home, you see. So it says here, on the other hand, his actions are not regulated by law or by any clearly formulated code of behavior. In Oceania, there's no law. Thoughts and actions which, when detected, mean certain death and not formally forbidden. And the endless purges, arrests, tortures, imprisonments, and vaporizations are not inflicted as punishment for crimes which have actually been committed, but are merely the wiping out of persons who might perhaps commit a crime at some time in the future. And you think that the Minority Report movie was a breakthrough. Here's 1948. A party member is required to have not only the right opinions, but the right instincts. The psychopathic, they sniff the, Many of the beliefs and attitudes demanded of him are never plainly stated and could not be stated without laying bare the contradictions inherent in, because the INSOC, that the system itself you're living under. If he's a person naturally orthodox, in Newspeak, a good thinker, they call it. He got this all from the Frankfurt School, by the way. They had these terms. They used them in the Frankfurt School, which runs still up there today, running out their culture. Like good and ungood. But in any case, an elaborate mental training undergone in childhood and grouping itself around the Newspeak words crime stop, black, white, and double think makes him unwilling and unable to think too deeply on any subject whatsoever. So what you've really got is a totally controlled, managed system from birth to death across the world. It has to be uniform. That's why Reuters gives every country their news. Back with more after this break.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, meat eaters! The freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Hi folks, I'm back, cutting through the matrix. Being a few books are very, very important to understand because, as I say, this kind of book is kind of leaked out by people who were trained for their particular jobs in the ruling society of the world. And from childhood too. And of course we know that Blair or Orwell actually came from an intergenerational class of bureaucrats, as they generally are. And so in page 182, he talks about how they had wars after wars after wars in order to get the world system together, which is exactly what we've gone through. In fact, Quigley goes even further, because from the records of them, and from the Boer War onwards, he says not a single war wasn't started by this government, you see. It says here in 182, it says, it was only after a decade of national wars, civil wars, revolutions, and counter-revolutions in all parts of the world that Ng Sok and his rivals emerged as fully worked-out political theories. But they had been foreshadowed by the various systems, generally called totalitarian, which had appeared earlier in the century, and the main outlines of the world, which would emerge from the prevailing chaos, had long been obvious. What kind of people would control this world had been equally obvious. The new aristocracy was made up for the most part of, now we've mentioned technocrats many times here on this particular broadcast. What kind of people would make up this world had been equally obvious. The new aristocracy was made up for the most part of bureaucrats, scientists that are appointed bureaucrats now, they're called technocrats, experts, technicians, trade union organizers, of course they had them in their bag for a long time, technicians, trade union organizers, publicity experts, they run the system, you have an awful lot of work for them, sociologists, teachers, journalists, and professional politicians. These people, whose origins lay in the salaried middle class and the upper grades of the working class, have been shaped and brought together by the barren world of monopoly, industry, and centralized government. As compared with their opposite numbers in past ages, they were less avaricious, less tempted by luxury, hungrier for pure power, and above all, more conscious of what they were doing and more intent on crushing opposition. This last difference was cardinal in comparison with what of that existing today. It says, all the tyrannies of the past were half-hearted and inefficient. The ruling groups were always infected to some extent by liberal ideas, and were content to leave loose ends everywhere, to regard only the overt act, and to be uninterested in what the subjects were thinking. Even the Catholic Church in the Middle Ages was tolerant by modern standards. Part of the reason for this was that in the past, no government had the power to keep its citizens under constant surveillance. This is 1948. From a guy who was reared to be part of this governing class. The invention of print, however, made it easier to manipulate public opinion, and film and radio carried the process further with the development of television and the technical advance which made it possible to receive and transmit simultaneously on the same instrument. Private life came to an end. What have you had over the last few years here? Privacy's dead. Internet, etc. Every citizen, or at least every citizen important enough to be worth watching, could be kept for 24 hours a day under the eyes of the police and in the sound of official propaganda, with all other channels of communication closed. The possibility of enforcing not only complete obedience to the will of the state, but complete uniformity of opinion on all subjects now existed for the first time. And then he goes into, again, basically standardizing of public opinion, which they do through Reuters, etc. So these are the books you've got to read as well. Many of them understand what's happened in the past, in your lifetime, what's happening now, where they're going with it, and how they'll train you to go along with it without even knowing. From hearing from yourself from Ontario, Canada, it's good night to me, your God, or your God's go with you.
The next round.